Let's get to this morning's sharing from the Bible. This morning, we have come to the final portion of the book of Zephaniah. And allow us to read for us in English.
看华语的请看投影. For at that time, I will change the speech of the people to a pure speech, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshipper, the daughters of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. On that day, you shall not be put to shame because of the deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proudly exultant ones, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. But I will leave in your midst a people humble and holy, lowly. They shall seek refuge in the name of the Lord. Those who are left in Israel, they shall do no injustice and speak no lies. Nor shall there be found in their mouth a deceitful tongue. For they shall graze and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgment against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion, let not your hand grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for a festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you, at that time, when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortune before your eyes, says the Lord. Let us begin with our prayer. Father, Lord, this morning as we come to once again read these prophetic words, Lord, we commit our time of meditation unto you. May you be with the one who shares and us who listens. In your name we pray. Amen. This is how it all began. Tearing away from what was supposed to belong together. When Judah tried this, tried tearing away from what was supposed to belong together, they started to take things into their own hands. They developed pride, and pride then led them to reject God and his guidance and to rebel against him. They tore themselves away from God because they thought that they were the no best. All right. Okay. And so they thought that they were the no best and then they don't need God. And when they have played the no best for enough times, they finally earn for themselves titles such as the proudly exultant ones and the haughty. And Zephaniah concluded that this sin of pride was the chief cause for the unavoidable destruction soon to come. Back then, King Josiah did stage a reform, and the people did do their part to make amends, but it was simply too late. Sin of pride has chalked up that many demerit points and so choked up Judah that darkness and destruction has become a sure thing. And then when destruction come, the prideful were being removed from the people, and the pious, on the other hand, were being torn away from their homeland, brought to places where they mourn for the festival and suffered reproach. Mourn for festival. What does it mean? Now, for years and years, when it was the time of Passover, these pious ones would paint the blood of the sacrificial lamb on their doorpost. They did this to commemorate that night when God's angels of death would pass over the Israelites' homes, and then they were then freed from the grip of Egypt the morning after. Remember this one? Then now, they are again to leave a country, yet not to become free men, but as captives in chains, and to become slaves once again. Passover is celebrated during springtime, but Passover was not all that they were missing. Springtime was also the time when a sheaf of first fruit was offered to Yahweh. They did this to celebrate God's giving of the land to plant, and also to declare their trust in God for the full harvest to come. But that again is history by now. These people have been torn away from their own land. They can only mourn for the festival. And the same kind of pain will haunt them again, 6 months down the road, and every 6 months down the road. Because during autumn was the time where the Jewish people observed the Day of Atonement, when they would send a scapegoat. Sorry, I pressed the wrong button. Okay. Where they would send a scapegoat that bear their sins into the wilderness. But autumn, instead of a time reminding of God's grace, now reminds them that it is they themselves who were being expelled from the promised land. Now, to be sure, it is the faithful ones, the remnants, we call them, who were experiencing such pain. Most of the prideful, the exultant, the faithless had probably perished during the destruction, although we may say that some might have converted and became one of the remnants. But in any case, it is the faithful ones who were taking in the pain at this point. But friends, I want to say this. I don't think we here, sitting here, I don't think we really share their pain. Because not being able to celebrate the Passover, the Day of Atonement, and so on, I think to us who are sitting here is a bit too remote, a bit too distant. In fact, for us who grew up in church, it is a bit too textbook. For sure. But then I like to also imagine that we still feel some pain when we read Zephaniah. Because it is, after all, the faithful ones who were suffering. And then they were punished, these faithful ones, they were punished alongside the faithless for sins that they did not commit. These faithful ones lost all that they had during the destruction, brought about largely by the others who were faithless. Now, this sad outcome should give us pause, shouldn't it? It makes very clear one thing, that the kind of pride that Zephaniah condemns here has no place in an abundant life with God. It was this pride that led to all the destruction, all the sadness, all the being torn away, all the mourning. The outcome also sends us a warning signal at the same time. That is, it tells us very clearly what would displease God. And as such a behavior, would potentially lead to collateral damages.
So there's a warning signal here for us. Well, put this, let us keep this in mind. And now let us take a look at a picture on the screen. Hey. Now, how do we find this one? It's a picture of a figurine of a small little bear that I have at home. Do we find it look nice? Those that say it looks nice, please raise your hand. Okay, no one. Too honest.
Well, my family got this from a carnival that we visited with our friend and their children. And at that carnival, there was this activity store. They sold clay figurines, white clay figurines, and they also provided paint for the children to color those figurines. So my little girl chose this one. And this is a finished product. Her artwork. And in case among us people as sensitive as Sabrina who start to wonder already, hey, am I going to hear Pao To, my little daughter? Let me assure us, I've already obtained permission from my little girl to show this picture and then to tell the story that I'm about to tell. Now, our little girl at that point of time was only 2.5 years old. And that afternoon, she wanted to do the painting all by herself. Parents, when our hands get near to the figurine, when we suggest to help, no, totally rejected, totally unwelcome. And then when she finished painting, she insisted that her artwork, the one that we see here on the screen, was very nice. Now, we told her honestly that it wasn't. Our friend's daughter, who was only 5 years old at that point of time, also told her it wasn't. And we wanted to help to do a bit of touch-up. Again, she rejected us. Not only so, she kept insisting that it was very nice. She insisted so much that, you know, my wife, our friends, and myself can only look at each other. We were truly amused and we feel rather helpless. And because our girl insisted so much that it was very nice, this figurine actually stood proudly at our home display cabinet for a good 2 to 3 years. Well, show us another picture. Now this one, our little girl did the following year, this time with a little bit of mommy's help. And this one is still sitting happily at our display cabinet up to today. Now, when I took the bear and showed my girl on the week when I was preparing this sharing, she no longer find it to be very nice because she's now turning 7 years old. She knows how to tell nice and not nice. But I think this disfigured figurine of this bear, which end up this way because of our girl repeatedly rejecting our help, betrays a tendency that maybe many of us share. That much as we are Christians, we still tend to see ourselves as the no best. We are quick to push away God and His guidance. And in doing so, we were tearing away from what was supposed to stay as one. And looking at the picture of the two figurines placed side by side, I think we can imagine how the bear could have turned out had it been mummy and daughter who did the painting together and complete the task as one team. Now, pardon me for saying this, but I think we human often only have the skill of a 2.5-year-old when it comes to navigating life. I say so unapologetically based on what we read in the book of Zephaniah about what he says about Judah and the destruction that befell them. And so I think Zephaniah urges us to do this, to navigate life with one God, with God, the real know best, as one team. The question is, how are we to keep doing so in life? The short answer to the question is that God will make it happen. And here's the longer answer to the question. Look at the verse. He says that God himself will give to the Gentile nations pure speech, and the Gentiles will serve God together with the Jewish people. God himself, having purified the Jews, will bring them back to their homeland. And then these returnees, aka the remnants, will take refuge in God. Or may we say that these remnants will by then navigate life with their God as one team. And again, God himself will also do the work of life transformation, and his people will take on his character so that they will do no injustice and speak no lies. This is what the Bible says, but our world have actually yet to see every bit of all that is said here being fulfilled. But Jews and Gentiles has indeed been worshipping and serving together. Paul, as we know, was serving together with the Yeans, right? The Galatians, the Philippians, the Colossians. And I have a personal friend from the Bible school, a Singapore lady who is married to a Jewish Christian, and they are actually doing Christian mission in Israel. Jews and Gentiles serving together. Taking on God's character is also something that is in progress and, well, far from completion. But in progress, it has to be for you and also for me. For God's Spirit is working on helping us as believers to put on new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. In progress, it must be, because the Spirit is doing this. But I want to say that that's not all that God is doing to help us to become one team with him. Reading from the New American Standard Bible for us, verse 17, it says that the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Well, the verse wants us to see one thing, first and foremost, that when you are here, then God is also here. The Lord your God is in your midst. And the Lord your God is in your midst is a victorious warrior. He will deal with the oppression and exchange for us. Oops, press the wrong button again. He will exchange for us praise and renown for shame. Now for the Jewish people, this suggests that they will no longer be homeless refugees and captives, but they will be citizens back in their homeland once again. For us, I think this verse must mean that we need not be ashamed, but we will be able to stand approved before God. To stand approved before God is not something that you and I can achieve by ourselves, but our Lord Jesus has made it a reality. We mentioned a minute ago that this progress in taking on God's character has to be a must. And that is because exchanging shame and praise, shame and renown for praise, in our case, is all about this, about putting off the old and putting on the new self. That's why this taking off God's character has to be in progress. It's only through this road that we can stand firm, stand approved before God. And so in other words, growing into Christ's likeness is God's way for us to be praised and renowned, and he in our midst, we grow in him, and we become better and better team member of this one team with God. Still, that's not all that God is doing to help us becoming one team with him. Friends, do we find it easy to take in the personal love poem that we see there in the last three lines of the verse? It says that God will exult with joy. It says that God will shout out loud with joy. that God will experience ecstasy because of sinners. After 2.5 chapters of harsh pronouncement on judgment, here we see something quite different. That the Lord God, after all, still can't help but still want to celebrate His people, to be in their midst, and to be one team with them. And there in the middle of this love poem, we have the line that says, "He will be quiet in His love." This word suggests that God, the victorious warrior, is not in action this time, but just sitting there, not making a sound, contemplating and contented in His love for us, to whom He called saints, but are also sinners. God, holy, contemplating and contented in His love for tainted and rebellious sinner. Well, some people might find this a bit hard to accept. Christian may find it easy, but if you think harder, even as a Christian, you may find it hard to accept. Why would God accept us, tainted sinners, and sitting there looking at us with that contentment and satisfaction? Now, in case you are one of them, I'm not sure if this picture might help a little. The bear was taken away from our display cabinet only because our family do update the displays from time to time. So, though it looks tainted and, to be honest, disfigured, it is actually valuable to us because it comes with a story of our family that took place when my girl was a toddler. And for this reason, we like it. I guess it might be something like that for God as well. That although God's saints are also tainted sinners, it does not deter Him from loving us, from wanting to form a team with us, because of a reason. He has a reason as well. And the reason is one that we all know super well. God is love. And so in His love, He gives us the breath of life. But surprise, surprise, He allowed us to use this very breath of life that He gives us to rebel against Him. But for the same reason, God is love. He forgives us and reconciles us to Himself and even allow us to call Him Abba Father. And for the same reason, He chose to be contented in His love for us amidst our imperfection. And again, for the same reason, He's still reaching out to us with His fatherly love and calling us to be one team with Him. Now, by now, we have said quite a few things about our God this morning, things I think we will do well to go and share with others. But I think first and foremost, to say this, to repeat all these things and drum it into ourselves. Because I think what we have done, have been doing, and in the habit of doing, is this. To keep tearing ourselves away from one that is supposed to belong together. We need to heed the message of Zephaniah. And we should do so, much because of what God has done. One last thing that I would suggest to us, done by the Lord Jesus, who did something pretty different from us. Instead of tearing away from one that's supposed to be together, He actually allowed Himself to be torn into pieces. And then He distributed it to all of us in the form of bread for the Holy Communion. He did so that we may eat Him and may be one with Him, may be one with God, and may be delighted to be in one team with God. Let us pray.
Lord, we always say that your love unto us is surprising and unimaginable. And that's true. All that we know is to go by our own standard. But what you do is for our good. And so this morning, Lord, as we come to you, no matter how near or how far we may be from you, Lord, we ask that your Spirit will so move us that we will only want to come and be one with you. In worship, in family life, in work, in study, among friends, in our love relationship, in our daily big and small things, that our life is one where we will journey by looking towards you at all times. Help us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.